Well, and good morning. It is 16 minutes after 8 a.m. You're tuned to your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. And I'm so excited to have here former NPR Morning Edition host Melissa Block.
All things considered.
All things considered, rather. And you're here, you're traveling around the country for this special series that I believe you kicked off probably around the end of January.
Yeah, that's
right. It's called Our Land.
Our Land, and we've been going around the country profiling communities, large and small. I've been really interested in exploring how where you're from shapes who you are, how place shapes identity, which can take you in all kinds of directions. And obviously, here in Southeast Alaska is rich with possibilities. So we started in the Midwest. We went to the Mississippi Delta. We went to Michigan and to the Mexico border, and then have been hankering to get up here. So we started here about a week ago and have been traveling around Southeast Alaska, here in Sitka for a few days, going to Ketchikan, and going to get up to Myers Chalk.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And well, also, we're welcome up in Haines and Clequan, too. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
What have been some of the interesting stories you've been hearing from this region?
From this region?
Yeah.
Everything's interesting. I mean, you know, I think each community is, as you know, different. And we started in Haines, and we're really curious to hear about some of the local tensions that have been roiling that community, as we learned, for decades. They sort of surface every once in a while, and they're in the middle of one now with their assembly members, their borough assembly members. We went up to Clequan to talk about Native identity a bit, and also rural health care with the search clinic up there. Spent a day with a doctor who goes up from Haines to the clinic there. And part of what's so amazing for folks who haven't been here before, which is me and my producer, Alyssa Nadworny, is just the landscape. It's just... well, as you know, it's breathtaking. It's hard to take it all in. I mean, as we've been traveling around, and Alyssa is an amazing photographer, and even with her skills, as you know, it can just be impossible to kind of convey the magnitude of what you're seeing. Here in Sitka, we're doing a story on fishing. So we went out yesterday salmon trolling with Charlie and Adrienne Wilbur, which was really fun. And I have just about a day left here before we go to Ketchikan, and we'll be there when the first cruise ship arrives.
Well, you know, landscape in Southeast Alaska and Alaska in general really shapes identity.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up in New York and it wasn't that same kind of relationship.
Right.
But here it's really striking.
Yeah, and how people are connected to the land in so many different ways. Absolutely. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I think that's something that a lot of people around the country don't quite get. I mean, they may get it in a different way. I think if you're a farmer in the Midwest, you have a connection to the land too. Mm-hmm. But it's a very different kind of connection. And the notion of sort of living off the land the way many people do is really interesting to me too.
Well, on your travels, what's been surprising for you? What did you not expect to find?
I'm not sure I expected people to be as open as they have been. I think we've heard so much about how divided we are and how polarized the country is. And what's been really reassuring to me and gratifying is just how welcoming people have been, how much they want to talk, how much they respect public radio, for example, which is always a great thing. So it opens doors in a lot of great ways. You have entree to people because they know through public radio stations like this one what it means to be part of this community. So that's been great. And it's been a relief to find that things have not been as dire and dark and dreary as we've been led to believe.
So there's still hope out there.
I think there's a bit of hope out there, yeah. I mean, it's not to say that there aren't dark times and dark places, but it's been nice to see the opposite too.
And people eager to share their experiences with you.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. We spent time on a pig farm in Iowa. We hung out with a cattle broker on the Mexico border. We went hiking through White Sands National Monument with the rangers down there in New Mexico, which is an amazing place, just miles and miles of sand dunes. Talked about a community that I had no idea existed, which are Chinese immigrants to the Mississippi Delta. The Delta Chinese, who have a long history as merchants in that part of Mississippi, which is just a fascinating little subculture.
Those are fascinating stories.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Well, you kicked this off, this road trip, right about the time that President Donald Trump's administration kicked off as well. And so you're sort of marking 100 days together.
Mm-hmm.
What was your hope for this when you started out?
I guess the hope for me was sketching some sort of portrait of who we are at this moment in time. I think when we started out, I guess I thought it might be more overtly political, the stories that we're doing. And then pretty quickly, we went in a different direction because that didn't seem as interesting to me. I wasn't terribly interested in finding out who did or didn't vote for Donald Trump and why, because I think we've heard a lot of that, and I think that's been to some extent asked and answered. But I was really curious to hear about the subcurrents in communities and what motivates people, how they see the world. So it's those kinds of stories that I think are a bit more illuminating for me, a bit more interesting. You know, if your kid has no chance of making a living where you're from, well, maybe that says something about what the economy is in that part of the country and what you might be responding to. You know, those kinds of questions always fascinate me.
I know the really highly politicized environments, it's easy for those kinds of stories, for just people's ordinary daily lives to get lost.
Yeah. And I think there's a tune out factor too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I heard from a number of people who were like, if they just so much as heard of, like, you know, we're going to be talking to voters, it would be like, click, you know, like, you don't want to hear from any more voters. We've been hearing from voters for a long time. So this is just it's just a different approach to telling stories and profiling characters, which is what I love doing. I love doing it when I was mm-hmm. host, and I love doing it as a reporter. It's what really gets me excited, and digging into people's lives and spending time with them.
You must be a little tired by now, though. Yeah. Are you ready for a little bit of a rest?
Well, it's been off and on. I mean, we go out typically for a week or two and then come back and produce stories and then go out again. So this is our fifth trip over whatever it's been, 4 months. This is the longest trip we've done. It takes, as you know, a while to get here from Washington, D.C., so we wanted to make it worth our while and spend a good chunk of time. And also, because who would want to leave? It's so beautiful.
Well, we love it. We love it here.
I know.
And we're so excited that you're here and appreciating as well.
Thank you.
But how did you decide to come here? I mean, how do you pick your places and your people to talk with?
Yeah, well, it depends. I mean, part of my motivation in coming here was it's a part of Alaska I've never seen before. So I've been to Alaska twice, once for reporting, once with my family. And, you know, the state's so big, you can't get everywhere. So I had always sort of reserved Southeast Alaska for that'll be my next trip to Alaska. And also just it lends itself, I think, to the kinds of storytelling that I love to do. Small communities each have their own very specific identity. There are a lot of sort of stories of national interest that affect things here, whether it's budget cuts, climate change, healthcare, all sorts of things like that. Shifting industries. I mean, the shift from timber to tourism, say, in Ketchikan is really interesting to me. So it's a place where you can tell broader stories in really interesting local ways.
And are you going to continue this after this stop?
Yeah. I'm not quite sure where the next trip will be, but, you know, I have a big laminated map outside my office back home in Washington, and I've started drawing with a pen the roads that, you know, that originally it started as a road trip. We were actually driving from place to place. Can't do that here. But I've been marking where we've been, and there's so much of the country that is untouched. I mean, I thought we'd done so much, and it's actually just a few little squiggles on the map of the country. So,
do you have a goal to, like, reach every state, or is it more general?
That was originally my goal, and that had to get scrapped pretty soon. That would be a long-time project. Maybe, you know, depending on how long we go on, it could get there, but it's a big country.
So if people see you on the street, which they will, can they stop by and say hi?
Of course they can. Absolutely. I think I've seen a bunch of them already. you know, I'm from a small town, and I know what it's like to know about everybody in town. I'm from upstate New York,
town.
Old Chatham, New York.
Ah.
Near Albany.
Yeah.
In the Berkshires.
I know the area.
Yeah.
I sort of miss it. It's beautiful as well.
It's a very different kind of beauty. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really, I didn't appreciate it when I was growing up, but every time I go back now, I think, gosh, this is just one of the most spectacularly beautiful places on earth. Mm-hmm. But this is pretty, you have it pretty good here too.
So I'm going to ask a big, broad question.
Yeah.
I like to do that.
So
how has this experience changed you? You're going to be going back a different Melissa. In what ways?
That's a really interesting question. I think anytime you travel, it shapes who you are, and the things you've seen become part of what you know. We've seen a lot. We have, you know, covered a pretty good swath of a lot of different places, and part of what I've tried to do is go places that I don't know anything about. So I didn't know anything about the Mexico border, and that felt like a real gap in my knowledge. So I think just seeing how people live in ways that I would never be exposed to as a normal non-reporter human being, it does change you, and I think it just makes you more receptive, more open. I think the best reporters are the ones who do have sort of a a wide open mind and are eager to absorb things. So I guess that to some extent, and a newfound appreciation for wild salmon. How about that? Not sure I can go back to the other things. Are you listening, Charlie?
Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, you bet. It's been great. And thanks for the mug.
Of course. It's a beautiful one.
It is a great one.
We've been speaking with Melissa Block, former NPR All Things Considered host.